In today's episode, we're talking about how the power of great creative and content can help you connect emotionally with your customers.
From Engagement, I'm David Millay, and this is Flip the Switch.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of Flip the Switch, where we sit down with leaders in customer experience and employee experience, and we try to figure out what are the trends that they're paying attention to? What are the experiments that they're running? What are the principles that have driven success for them throughout their career? We take all those insights, we apply them to the world of sports and entertainment. Now, today's episode, instead of interviewing a legendary senior leader, we're sitting down with a rising up-and-comer, Janae Anderson. She's a creative at University of Texas, Austin. Longhorns, our second Longhorn on the podcast. If you go all the way back to episode 2, we had Drew Martin, one of the leaders of that athletic department, on. But today we are highlighting Janae. And the reason is because over the last, I don't know, let's call it 5-7 years, content and creative really has taken leaps and bounds in terms of its importance in an organization in order to really connect with customers and fans. When we think about fan experience today, usually people in the past would have thought about fan experience as what happens when a fan comes to a game, what happens when a customer interacts and comes directly with your business. But today, when we think about customer experience or fan experience, it's really all about how are they engaging with your brand and staying connected emotionally with your brand 24/7. And that's where Janae and her team on the athletic side of the house and the creative side of things, it's really where they come into play. Because without that creative, how do you stay involved and connected and in your hearts and minds of your customers with more than just stats and updates, right? You got to create emotional, engaging stories, highlighting different aspects of your business, of your organization throughout time. So a lot of pressure has been put on Janae and her team over the last couple of years since the pandemic hit. And we're going to talk about what it's like being a young creative in sports and entertainment from her point of view. So quick background on Janae. She's at Texas right now, but before that, she was with the Carolina Panthers. Before that, she was director of recruiting content at Temple University. Before that, she was with Miami Football. So she's really spent some time in her young career working with some of the biggest brands in the industry. And you'll be able to tell why right when we jump in. She definitely has words of wisdom to share, even to the most seasoned vets among us. So without further ado, let's get into this episode with Janae Anderson. Janae, welcome to the show. Happy Friday.
Happy Friday. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, let's jump in. This is your podcast debut. Let's rock it.
Yeah. So bear with me.
All right. So we'll start us off here. A little bit of background. We just did an intro explaining a little bit about your background. But I mean, you've worked for some major brands, in both college and the pro space, Miami Football, Temple, Carolina Panthers, and now you're at Texas. What are some of the steps that you take when you're coming onto a new program with a big iconic brand, like some of the ones you've worked with? How do you go about learning the brand voice, and kind of their unique audience?
I think it's different. It's different for sure for every place that you're going to go. I am one of the things about me that is kind of surprising to a lot of people is that I don't tend to do a lot of research before I go to places. And, you know, people always think that's a bad thing, but I don't, because I go in with a completely open mind and I allow the space to kind of shape, you know, kind of that feeling or that voice for me. For example, when I got to the Panthers, the first thing I did was spend a ton of time with the fans, especially out at training camp. Like, I was around the fans all the time. I was talking to the fans. I got to do a lot of the fan stories. And through that, I was just quickly able to learn, like, what a keep pounding like meant to a lot of people, rather than just like the organization of the people that I was working with. And I think that helps me a lot too. Same thing when I was at Temple, like they have, I didn't really learn what it meant to be like Temple tough, right? Until talking to a graduate, interviewing one of the Eagles players who had graduated from Temple. And I feel like, you know, you research and you're going to you're going to see what people have already put out, but unless you're in it and experiencing it, then I feel like that is kind of how I've always approached that topic.
Super, super important. I mean, when you think about what we do as an organization, connecting with the fans, spending time hearing the fans' voice, is something that we preach all the time. And that I think a lot of times senior leaders don't take as much time as they probably should to get out of their office and go interact with fans. So incredible that that's kind of how you start. Couple of questions going off of that. I mean, do you feel like when you go into it blind and you're really just starting off by listening to the fans, do you ever feel like there's a disconnect between how, I'm going to use Temple as an example. You said Temple Tough. Do you ever feel like there's a disconnect between what the organization views Temple Tough as versus what the fans feel it as? Or are they usually pretty aligned?
No, I think it's usually pretty aligned. I mean, the fans are such a bulk of your organization. Like Temple, the thing about Temple and Temple Tough is that it wasn't just the fans. It was the city too, right? Like the city of Philadelphia is always very gritty. It's a hard place to be and a hard place to live. And you don't really understand that until you're in it. And that is kind of what Temple encapsulates. And that's what Temple Tough, and that's how the football team, you know, plays. And that's how, you know, they really present itself. So I feel like I stepped foot in the city of Philly and was like, wow, it's different here. And was able to understand like what Temple Tough was. And they spell it differently. They spell it T-U-F-F. And also my first project with them was a video, a 215 video. Cause I moved there in the middle of February and the start of February. And it was a 215 video.
What's a 215 video?
Philly's the 215. So it was just celebrating February 15th, as 215 day. And I saw all the sites in the city. I went to the steps of Philly, the Rocky Museum and, you know, the little Love Museum. And I really kind of then too learned a lot about the city and what it meant. So I interacted with a lot of people. I mean, there's nowhere else where you go to the Rocky steps and there's people boxing and working out and run up and down the steps. And it's just really cool. It's a really cool city. And I feel like all of that helped me. It wasn't, and same thing with going to Charlotte. Like it's definitely more than just what's internal. And so I don't know if that answers your question, but.
Oh, it definitely does. I mean, I think especially as like, I mean, again, senior administrators where we spend a lot of our time with, like you can go to an organization and think, you know, I've seen this before, I've done this before. And so you're really tempted to just go in and operate from the same playbook that you've kind of has, it was successful for you in the past. But I love that you come in with like open eyes, you're going out and exploring the city and trying to understand what the culture is like by actually going out and living it and experiencing it versus just taking the word from the person that's got the office next to you. So like, yeah. I love that. You totally answered my question. Let's talk about, you know, your time right now. I mean, you're balancing between game coverage, you know, highlighting different player interests and highlighting their lives and stories. You've got larger content that you're focusing on for the brand. I mean, how are you balancing your time? Like, what does your schedule look like right now?
It's so different from day to day. Like everybody's like, oh, what's your day to day? And it's like, I have no idea. It's, you know, I could plan to do one thing. I plan to record this podcast at 9 a.m. And yesterday something came up and we had to take care of it this morning, and that's fine. But like, I think, you know, I write a list of things that I need to get done, but ultimately it's knowing like that might not happen. I could go to work and not get a single thing done on my list, but I can't let that kind of like pigeonhole me in a way. And I just kind of have to adjust. Time management is something that I think I'm still striving to get better at. And I think everybody in this industry will say that. But
for sure.
I think also on the other part of it, not just work, I think, you know, having a cutoff time where I'm just done, like, okay, I'm not working past 8 p.m. anymore is one of those things where I've just had to really focus on, especially for me, because I'm the kind of person who can work all night.
Yeah, I was going to our team probably should institute some of that rule. We're constantly working up till late, and normally, I mean, it's all over the place, whether we're up in the morning early working or we're up at late at night working. We probably benefit from a cutoff time as well. Let's talk about, you know, something that we come across at engagement oftentimes is like we're working with different different departments within the larger department. And when you think about what that culture is like, which is where we spend a lot of our time, every department has kind of their own culture within this larger culture. But when I think about it from a brand perspective and what you're doing from a content creation perspective, I think that carries over the same kind of way with teams, where every team's got their own mantras, their own brands within this larger UT brand. So how do you go about kind of creating a new brand when a coach comes in for like these individual teams, a brand for this individual team? Meanwhile, you're kind of marrying it and balancing it with the brand of the overall department. How do you approach that difference?
I think for me, like, it's just, I've always believed that, I think my boss put it really, when I came here, I got a spiel and I think he put it really great of like, for example, our Texas Longhorns page, our general Texas Longhorns page, that is a fan account, essentially, right? It's the biggest Texas fan ever. And then with that, you have your individual team accounts that larger account then supports. So for example, I'm really involved with Texas soccer and their account and their branding. And for me, like, and I think what we try to do for a lot of our accounts here at Texas is it's just like a direct reflection of who that team is. And so, and that's what carries the individual brand of each sport, right? I mean, obviously, every fan, our soccer fan base is not going to be our baseball fan base, right? So like our creative and our marketing plans and our content is not going to look the same as it does. And that's okay. I think sometimes people get caught up in like having things be too similar of like, it's Texas. I think we have the luxury at Texas that everybody's going to know it's Texas, you know, like it can look completely different. One account can look completely different from the other, but it's going to be Texas nonetheless, because we have that burn orange,
right?
Which
is a pretty
kind
easy
of like,
identifier.
Yeah, so I think, you know, maybe are a little lucky with that, but in the same time, like I focus on the team, who the team is, and even if a new coach comes in, like that's still the core of the same team. They may implement some new values, and you know, we can of course highlight that, right? Like Texas basketball with Coach Beard coming in is a completely different team than they were a year ago. Even or a year, 2 years ago, but like, I think at the end of the day, it's still Texas basketball, and that brand is still well represented. And right now, we see a lot of who that team is, and too, like, and I think like my boss who runs that account does a fantastic job. So,
makes sense. Yeah, when you're talking about kind of the fan base knowing that burn orange, it's Texas. It really easy identifier and being able to communicate it that way. When you're thinking about creating content, specific pieces of content, are you creating it for a unique fan base or a unique segment of that fan base? Because I think what we see oftentimes is like, if you try to communicate to the masses, you're going to be kind of medium and lukewarm towards everyone versus catering towards specific segments and creating different things for specific segments. How do you view that when you're actually creating content? Do you just say, I'm putting this out for Texas fans? Or do you say, I know this content's really going to resonate with this segment of our fan base? Like, how do you approach it when you're creating the content?
I think for me, I'm putting out content for everyone, right? Like, obviously, we know our Texas fans are going to be there, and we know that they're going to support us and that they're going to watch the videos, like the graphics, interact, right? But we're trying to create more Texas fans. So I think we reach our initial audience and then move past that audience. And I'm always thinking about that of like, okay, this is for our Texas fans, but how can we also create new Texas fans like with the content that we make? And I think that process is just like connecting our Texas fans and already Texas fans to that beyond that. So for example,
yeah,
Texas soccer.
Example.
Yeah, Texas soccer. I love Texas soccer. I think it's awesome. I really want to focus on connecting, you know, Texas soccer to Austin FC and their fan base, right? Because there's a huge soccer fan base here in Texas and here in Austin, and they're at the Austin FC games. How can we get them to the Texas soccer games? And so I think like anytime I create content, I'm always thinking about that. And so I know this year we did a great job of connecting Texas soccer to the city, and hopefully bringing in more of that fan base. And we had some of the Austin FC fans at the Texas Soccer fans or Texas Soccer games. And it was a big moment for us when we had one of our players go and bang the drum at the Austin FC game. And that really showed people like, oh, this is Texas Soccer, right? And, you know, she got to do that all on her own because she won a gold medal. But that was one of the things that we could highlight that got Texas Soccer in front of a lot of people that they wouldn't have been in, that a lot of people that it initially wouldn't have been in front of anyway. And now we have like the band that plays at the Austin FC games playing at Texas games. And so, you know, really trying to build on that crossover, I think is really important. We've already started it, and that's something that I would like to keep going further. You know, everyone here says Austin is a soccer city, and I would really like to push that narrative, especially with this upcoming Texas soccer season.
I love those examples of like having the supporters and recruiting the supporters at Austin FC games to come over to Texas games. That's a great example. But when I think about that, I don't think about that as like being content, but is that something that you're still doing, or is that like the larger team? And if that's the larger team, I mean, talk to me more specific, like around content, around how you're making it. How are you connecting it with the larger city? Like, what is the different content style that you're doing to reach that different audience?
I think like, to me, I guess everything's content. So I guess I operate in that one lane.
I love that.
And so I can see how people are like, I can see how people are like, oh, that might be a marketing thing, or that might be external thing. But it's like, to me, it's always, I always think social first. I work with a guy who made our intro video, and our intro video was largely based around the city, and a lot of the photographs and stuff that we took for Texas Soccer, I wasn't there at the time, but we're also involved with the city. And I think this year, take it a step further. You know, a lot of soccer programs do that like kind of storytelling vibe and like to show the city of girls like dribbling through the city and kind of like important murals around the city. And like, then we post that on social, and then all of a sudden it's not Texas Soccer, it's the city of Austin, because we've put them in that narrative. So, and then you can do the same thing with the graphics that, you know, are going to be designed, and anything else that we put out, like, it's just connecting them content like wise with that narrative.
Love it. And it's great that, I mean, hearing you say this, it's funny, right? I mentioned to you earlier, we had Drew Martin on episode two. And he and I have always bonded over the fact of like, when you go into a university campus or whatever it is, your pro team, it should be a mirror of the larger city that you're in. So it is pretty incredible that it has gone through the organization, and that is kind of the mantra, the vibe that you guys have there at Texas. Let's shift a little bit more towards like fan engagement. We're talking about engaging this new fan demographic, the Austin FC people, the people that are in Austin, and getting them to be fans of Texas soccer. Let's kind of shift towards fandom and fan engagement a little bit. So talking to a just number of different marketing leaders around some of the lessons learned during the pandemic, I mean, as a creator, how did the pandemic really change and shift what fans wanted to see? Did you feel like there was a behavior shift in terms of what people were liking, what people were engaging with, and the type of content that you were creating from that pandemic?
That's a hard question for me, because when the pandemic hit, I was working largely in recruiting.
Interesting.
And,
okay.
And so like recruiting, like obviously never stops. So I think to try and answer that question, I think social at that point was such a big deal because the games weren't being played. Like that was really the only connection, you know, they had to the team. But I think if anything, like that access that your social and that gives, you know, the fans, mm-hmm. it was 10 times more important, right? Cause it's like, okay, well, we're all sitting in the house doing nothing, looking for things to watch and look at. How can we, it's the reason why TikTok took off, right? So I think was a lot of it too, is like, okay, how do we utilize these new platforms that are also coming out of this pandemic? So I think that was also part of it. I know the Panthers did a really great job of utilizing TikTok when the pandemic hit. But yeah, it's a hard question for me because I was really in the recruiting space.
Totally
the majority of that.
Yeah, it's a totally different vibe. Wait, this is a side note. We're going to go on different tangents. I think the rest of the episode, we're going to just bounce all over the place. Are you on TikTok personally?
I am. I don't like spend a lot of time. I mean, okay, that's a lie. I spend a lot of time on TikTok, but I don't create as much content as I probably would like to.
Same. I'm fascinated in that too. Like if your job is creating content, right? And you're getting paid 9 to 5, like how much content are you creating personally on the side? Do you create a lot personally on the side?
Kind of. if I create TikToks, it's largely about like what I'm doing at Texas. So I made a TikTok about our baseball shoot. And you know, it did well for me. It didn't blow up or anything, but I got like 50 likes, which I was proud of.
We'll take it. Yeah. I'd be hyped about that too.
So yeah, I think like my content that I make is just largely based around like what I'm doing here at Texas. Yeah. And then just funny stuff that I also like come across there, my life in general, like Austin froze over. And so you know, couldn't get into my car. So I made a TikTok about that. And it was really funny because like I was basically me struggling to get in my car. And at the end of the video, like the road was so icy that I set the bowl of hot water like on the ground and it just started sliding away.
So you, like, you couldn't even make content out of it. It was just sliding.
Yeah. Yeah. So
one of the things that I've heard across the board, I mean, at Engagement, what we do a lot of is culture work, right? So just looking at the employee experience. And I think one of the areas that we've seen in pro sports and college sports alike, where we've seen a lot of this turnover happen for a lot of these organizations is on the creative staff. And for a number of reasons, right? I mean, on one hand, it's because I think you guys are a lot more seen as now a lot more valuable than you might've been 5 years ago, because so much is, to your point, everything is content now, or at least it has the potential to be. But I think the other part of it too, is that like, there's so much demand and being put on you guys, especially during the pandemic. One of the things that we heard was that when there wasn't any games being played, coaches now were going and saying, we got to find a way to engage our fans and engage our recruits and whatnot. So without the games, I need you to go create more content. And you had more time then to do that because you weren't covering games. But then when all the games came back and events came back, the coaches still wanted that same amount of content being created, but now you've got to balance that with games. So I guess on your end, like, how are you dealing with that now, I guess, higher demand for content than there has been before?
I think for me, like, if I'm being honest, you just got to protect yourself. I mean, like, I think one thing that I value about myself, and I think that, you know, my employers value about me too, is that I'm honest. And I'm not gonna beat around the bush. I'm opinionated. And I'm going to say how I feel. So if I feel like something's not feasible, I'm going to tell you, hey, look, that's not feasible. And so I think that's my way of dealing with it. It's just being, you know, completely honest with the people that I work with and my bosses and the coaches that I work with. And I've always found that if you're just willing to talk to someone and tell them what's going on and what is feasible or compromise, then they're way more receptive of you than just saying like, than just feeling like attacked or we can't get that out or how could you possibly think we could create that much. Be like, okay, you know, like your brain doesn't work the way my brain works and I get that, but let's figure it out. You know what I mean? So
words of wisdom beyond your years there. I think that applies to so much, right? Not just creative. I mean, in every role in athletics and pro sports right now, I mean, we're getting pulled in 100 different directions. And I think we'd all be wise to listen to those words a little bit more. One question I had, I mean, as we think about creative, right, how are you balancing and you can answer from the Texas point of view, or you can answer from the Janae point of view, but how do you think about balancing really like high production value content that meets brand standards balanced with kind of like this lo-fi iPhone footage that's easier, quicker to produce, and it seems to resonate a little bit more with Gen Z and is gaining popularity, especially with TikTok. Like, how do you see the balance between those two types of content? And is there one that you gravitate towards to more? I mean, just talk to me about like, about that balance, if you will, or that paradox.
I think like as a creative, right? Like some of us didn't go to school for this. Most of us did. I have a film background. Of course, like we're always going to gravitate towards the bigger, more played out productions. Yeah. But I've learned, I think one quote that I love, and it's from Casey Neistat, is that he says, like, the camera, the best camera you have is the one you have with you, right? So, like, and I think, like, I always, no matter what, I always kind of operate from that point of view. Like, the best, the video that we had of, the best video that we had all year come out from Texas Soccer's account, like, through, during all season. It's just a clip of, you couldn't even really see the goal all that well, but you could just see the girls' celebration, excitement, and, like, were there probably a million other ways we could have put that out where it was maybe a little bit better cleaned up or better featured? Yeah, but that wasn't the point. Like, the point was that we just were going to the Big 12 championship, right? So, like, that was the feeling. That was the moment. It's real and raw. And I think fans are going to connect with that way more than like, a well-polished, thought-out, you know, clip that maybe takes us 20 more minutes to put together, rather than just posting that one clip in the moment.
Love it. Yeah. So, and what I hear you saying there too is, like, really it's about, it, at the end of the day, it is about storytelling and what is the emotion that you're trying to convey. And the story doesn't always need to be told with the highest production value that you possibly can. At the end of the day, what is the emotion that you want that fan to feel? What do you want that emotion to be? What do you want them to experience? And whatever you got to do that, like, that should dictate the medium, as opposed to the medium dictating the emotions or the experiences you want people to have.
For sure. I'm never opposed to just recording things on my iPhone and sending them out.
Say it again?
I said, I'm never opposed to just recording things on my iPhone and just sending them out, because it's like, it works.
That's encouraging for me, because sometimes I'm like, oh, it's got to be, every detail's got to be mapped out exactly right before I post it, and then it just gets in the way of me posting it at all. So I think that's a lot of us, though. One thing I want to shift towards is something that you've really been, I think you're pretty proud of here, and you should be, of the series that you've been doing this month with Texas, kind of around building that community. So you've launched this new series, really providing Black student athletes the platform for real conversation. Talk to us a little bit about this series that you helped bring to life, and the thought process about it. Most people listening to this probably have not seen it. This is a chance to plug that and talk to us about how
It's not even
life.
It's not even out yet. That was actually what my meeting was about this morning.
There it is.
It's,
okay.
Yeah.
I've only seen the one video.
Even, yeah. So that was the trailer. So we're hoping to have more pieces come out. You know, February is only 28 days, so it's hard. But yeah, there's so much I could say about it. I think.
Talk on it then. Let's go.
So, I mean, originally here at Texas, like, we have programs to help kind of like bring into place these initiatives of, you know, Black History Month, Women's History Month, and how we're going to, you know, celebrate those months. And I think, you know, that's the first place I've ever been a part of, right? That really did something like that, because I've been at other places and I don't even think we really did much for Black History Month, now that I think about it. So I remember, like, my boss coming to me and he was like, hey, like, do you want to be involved in this? And I was like, Black History Month. And I was like, yeah, sure. Like, I didn't know what I was signing up for. But I was like, yeah, sure. I would love to be a part of it. And so I remember sitting down with our first group of, like, people with the meeting, and we all got on this call, and they were just kind of asking for ideas. And I've kind of had this idea in my head for a while. I've kind of, like, harbored it from place to place, never knowing the right time to execute it. But I was just kind of like, hey, let's see if anybody's interested in just, like, sitting down and having a conversation about what it's like being an African-American student athlete, not only at Texas, but just in the world in general, and record it and see what they say, and then put it out. You know, I think the whole interview point of where you ask kids, like, hey, what do you think about Black History Month? All that kind of stuff, I think, is overplayed, because, like, they're tired of it, for one. And two, like, is it honest anymore? So I think that was our goal, was just to get some really honest conversation going. And not only that, just to give, one, to give a space to the kids to know and understand that they're not alone, right? Like, I don't really know how much they talk to each other outside of their own sports, but I was a student athlete. I played soccer in college, so I know it's not a lot. And so, like, I know that it's hard sometimes to be around other sports. So that was another thing, get these kids around other athletes that don't play their sport and see what experiences they were having on and having on each individual team, and make those connections with those athletes and give them that space and camaraderie and community. And they were phenomenal. Like they didn't have prompts and we didn't really talk about what it was. They showed up and I said, hey, we're going to record a conversation. I have a little bit of things that I know that I kind of want you to get into, but I'm not asking you any questions. I'm not driving your conversation. I want to know how you feel. And this is your moment to tell people how you feel. And that's what kind of that was. And I cried during the initial filming of it, of how
really
amazing these, yeah. I mean, like, because one, obviously I related to a little bit of what they were saying, but two, I think I was just really proud of them. I don't know if I could have done that at their age and talk about like what they talked about.
What were some of the obstacles internally as you were looking to craft and build this series? What were some of the things that you guys ran up against that you had to work around to bring this to life?
I mean, I think that's a hard question for me because we're still working through that. I think it's, one, our main goal is protecting the student athlete, right? Like, we don't want anything they say to be used against them. And then two, just like, how can we put, it's a sensitive, whatever we talk about, it's a sensitive topic, right? So just be, and they do, they talk about sensitive topics. And, you know, I'll pull some things from the trailer of like the video that was actually released. But when we start talking, when we start getting into the conversations of Black Lives Matter and the police and all, that's obviously very sensitive. And we know that as a university.
Yeah.
And wanna make sure that we are portraying not only the students, but Texas in the best light as possible while still giving these athletes a voice. And I think that is, it took a lot of people to come together and talk through that. But I think, you know, we're finding a space to do that. And hopefully the first episode should be coming out here shortly.
I mean, it is great, especially, and I would think it would be such a learning too, with the nuances of doing something like this at Texas, where, what was it, earlier this year with the song that some of the donors wanted to keep, and there was all the back and forth, are we going to keep it, are we going to take it down? And when I think about the series that you've created and that I'm so excited to see when it comes out, in context of stuff that's happened there in the last year or so, I mean, I think it's great that you guys are pushing through, having the conversations and saying, we believe in this. We want to do this to really give our student athletes a platform and a voice. I think it's incredible. So I'm really excited to see you bring it to life.
Me too. I'm excited.
Oh, go ahead.
No, I said me too. Right. I'm excited. I hope it's taken in the proper light that it should be taken in and not turned into something negative.
For sure.
By anyone. So
there's going to be Twitter trolls that comment on it. But that is the case with everything that gets put out. If you don't have Twitter trolls, are you really doing enough? That's the real question, right? If you don't have haters, you're not doing big enough things. All right. Let's talk creator economy a little bit. Something that we pay really close attention to in my mind right now, traditional stick and ball sports, athletic departments, pro teams. I think oftentimes they ignore the power of the creator economy right now in terms of that. When somebody's got younger kids are turning on and deciding, do I want to watch that game or do I want to watch my favorite streamer on Twitch or YouTube, right? And the reality is, with more and more tools being introduced into the creator economy, more and more people are creating their own content that ultimately is a competitor to traditional live sports and viewing that on TV. When I think about that and the creator economy, you are a creator. You're kind of straddling both worlds, right? So for you, like, what are some of your sources for inspiration when you're creating? What are some of your favorite go-to tools? Those two, so kind of two questions there. Go-to sources for inspiration and then go-to tools and things that you love to use.
I think for inspiration, I mean, I'm at Texas. I'm in an office full of inspirational people. Honestly, like, I mean, obviously we look to other creators and stuff like that, but sometimes, I mean, I don't really find myself having to do that because, like, I could turn around and there's two talented designers next to me that I'm like bouncing ideas off of and watching them work. And it's just like that in itself is usually enough for me. But if it's not, like, I'll head to Pinterest or, you know, I do see something every now and then on the Twitter feed or that I'll be like, oh, wow, that's amazing. And I'll save. But I think most of my inspiration really comes from here being at Texas. And I mean, I am creating for Texas, so I think that's a good thing.
For sure.
And then for me, I don't know if other people are like this. This is weird for me, I think, but I, a lot of the times, will tap into like how I'm feeling. A lot of the pieces that I've made or create or work on are very emotional, and that's just because that's how I operate. I'm an emotional person, and so that's kind of how I, that's how my creative process works. Right down to just taking out a piece of paper and like drawing how I'm feeling sometimes, and then that may end up on a graphic.
You're hitting on my next question. My next question was going to be, you know, how do you infuse your own personal creativity into content that's for this larger brand? And so go a little deeper there. I'm curious as to, you know, you draw out your emotions and then maybe that turns into a graphic. I mean, tell me a little bit more about how you're able to infuse your personal creativity into the content you're creating for.
I mean, yeah, just exactly that. I think it's hard because obviously there is a separation of like how much of it is you and then how much of it is Texas, but it's just how I feel. And I have a hard time articulating that because like that is how I articulate my feelings is by just being able to sit in front of a computer and maybe I didn't have the best day, but just be able to have that process of like thinking through something. You know, a lot of the graphics I start sometimes, they're not at that moment. They may not be for Texas. They're for me, or a lot of the artistic pieces that I make aren't for Texas, but they're for me. And then like, even I think one thing is when I was in the city of Philly, you know, I'm a Florida kid. So when I was in the city of Philly, like snow and just like the walkability, I love Philly, but it was not what I was used to. And I felt really out of place, for a long time. And, I go back to that. There's two videos that came out of that, you know, celebrating Philly video. And one of them was the one that went out on our page. And then there was another one that went out on my page that was a lot more emotional. And it was to the soundtrack of, or it was to the song, This City. And I don't remember who wrote the song, but there's a quote in there and it says, like, am I getting closer to knowing where I belong? And so, because I felt out of place, you know, in Philly, and I felt like maybe I didn't belong there. Just because I didn't understand the city for a long time. Like I wasn't used to the cold. Some people in Philly can be kind of mean, as much as I love the city. Like they can be kind of mean. I'm from the South. Southern hospitality is very real. I wasn't used to it. So that's just kind of like those two parallels of like what I'm creating for myself and what I'm creating for output, but use the exact same shots. Didn't go out and get new ones. So yeah.
Love it. That gives us a definite peek inside. What are some of your favorite tools when you're creating?
As far as what?
Software. I'd primarily say like software. Like what are some of the tools that you feel like that are, especially new ones that have come about in the last 5 years or so, that you feel like have really helped you just hone your craft a little bit better?
I'm pretty simple. I just use Photoshop, Adobe. Premiere, like I don't really use a lot of the fancy, like, I don't know. I know Wacoms are like super popular and some other things. Half the time I'm not even hooked up to the external monitor in my office. So like,
that's wild to me. I'm hooked up and I'm just using spreadsheets half the time.
Yeah. So like, me and my laptop, I guess is how that works. Like the thing about me is I'm very private when it comes to the stuff that I'm making, even for Texas. And I think sometimes that's annoying, right? Because it's like, oh, let's see what you're working on. And I'm like, no, it's not done yet.
Yeah, you got to wait till it's show ready. That's what we call
it, right? And so like I'll bring things to people for my bosses to see, but it's like some people will huddle behind me and I'm like, no, you can't watch it. It's only for their eyes.
Got it.
So.
All right. Well, last question before we get into our final question. So I guess second to last question. When you think about, we hit on this earlier of, you know, content being really something that, you know, 5-10 years ago was really, hey, youngest person in the office, give it to our intern, let them produce stuff. Do you feel like it's given you a bigger seat at the table with how important content is now? How a part of the bigger organization, I mean, I guess, does that my question's all over the place this morning with this.
I think I understand.
You know what I'm getting at? Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. So I think that just goes to my running joke all the time of like, who let me do this? Right? Like, that's kind of how I feel. Cause like I am a 24-year-old, like maybe recent college graduate. And for the most part, most of the stuff we think of goes out, right? So it's just like literally who gave me that control? So it's like, because it is so important. And it is one of those things where it's like, now that's your outward facing brand, right? And that's like a lot of the times where most people are going to get their information too. So it's just sure. like, you have a very small window of like, okay, like have fun with it. But also this is very, very important and very serious. So I think like this should not be my, it is my job, but it's like, it should not be my job. Because it's just like, oh my gosh, like it's, and it's, yeah, I can't express it any better than like, who let me do this? Like, I'll post things and I'll think it's funny and everybody thinks it's funny and it'll go out well, but I'm like, also, who let me in control of this account? And like, one good example is I help out with Tennis Social a lot, and there was a kid and he had a banana in his hand, and I sent it to our group chat and I was like, I want to post this picture of the kid with a banana in his hand because I think it's funny. But I don't know, like, what should I caption it? Obviously, it's a joke. And one of the girls who works in our office was like, pushing potassium with a P, right? Because that was popular.
Yep.
And it, so we posted it. It was funny. People liked it. But also, that was one of those moments. I was like, who's letting me do this?
Yeah, especially to as big an audience as you guys have, right? It's not just like going out to your 500 friends. It's going out to your 500,000 closest friends.
Yeah.
Well, let's wrap us here. Janae, any final words for our audience? Let's say you've got a billboard up and everyone in college athletics and the pro sports world could see it. You know, what are you putting on there?
Like, from just a personal standpoint?
This is your closing statements. You can say personal, you can say professional. What do you got?
I guess if it was up on a billboard and I was even from a professional and a personal standpoint, like, it's not that serious. At the end of the day,
hear that.
I think a lot of the times in the sports world, we think like everything, it feels so fast. And it's like, oh my God, like everything has to go out now. Content has to be pushed now. If it gets posted today instead of yesterday, that's the end of the world. And it's not. So I think what I've been trying to tell myself, it's really not that serious. And you're doing a good job.
Love it. And I think that kind of self-talk is really important in the sports space where you're right. Oftentimes it can feel like life or death because something went out or it didn't go out, had a typo in it, whatever it might be. But at the end of the day, like, we're making people smile with sports and entertainment. We're not trying to save lives or anything like that. And we have
exactly. That's what I always say. Like, this is not, I'm not a nurse. You know what I mean? There's way more important things going on, especially now with the pandemic and everybody's health. Like, it's not that important.
I mean, some of my biggest takeaways here, like for on your end of setting boundaries, it's not that important. And yes, we talked a lot about like the content side of things, but I think some of your mindsets around how you approach work and how you approach creativity are what's really valuable here. So I really appreciate you coming on the show. It's been great having you.
Yeah. Thanks for having me. I know Amy kind of connected me with you guys. So
she'll be on the show later, I think.
She's amazing.
We're excited to jump in with her. Well, let's do this. Where can people reach you, follow along, see your work? Obviously, if they've never seen your work before, it's incredible. Where can people find you?
So I'm most active probably on Twitter. And that's just my name, which I probably should spell, I guess.
Yeah, let's spell it out. Spell it out.
So it's Zhanee and then last name Anderson, which is spelled the traditional way. And that's all pretty much all my social handles. And you'll find me on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, just at Janae Anderson.
Sounds good. All right. Hey, well, hopefully we see you down there in Austin, Texas soon. And if you're ever in Cincinnati, give me a shout.
I will. Right. Thank you.
We'll see you later.
Hey, guys, before you head out, just wanted to say thank you so much for listening to the show. If you enjoyed it, head over to iTunes to subscribe, rate, and leave a review. That helps more of your peers find the show as they search for ways to get better in their own roles. But this podcast is just a small part of what we do at Engagement. In our normal day in the office, we're crazy focused on helping athletic departments and sports and entertainment companies generate more revenue by becoming more customer-centric. To see how we might be able to help your organization, visit engagementpartners.com to learn more. Download a free guide, check out our blogs and case studies, or schedule a call with us if you want to see how we can help with your particular objectives. Our goal is to help you create deeper connections with fans and generate more revenue. So when you're with us, hopefully you find a nugget or two that helps your cause.